This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. Harvest Hotline starts us off here this afternoon, sponsored by the North Dakota Mill and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. East of Great Falls, custom combiner Tracy Zurayan is cutting a very good crop of Highwood near Highwood, Montana.
Oh, it's fabulous. They had just some timely rains that really put the situation in a nice yield. We're looking at anywhere from, 80 to 120 bushel wheat. I mean, I think their average is probably better, way better than what we were typically cutting in the Jordan area, but I believe they've said that their typical harvest is like a 60 bushel crop. So this is like a double yield for them.
The wheat is standing pretty well, with the exception of a few spots due to the big yield.
No, I would say the majority of it is standing, but because of what you said, because of the yield, there is some areas that it's lodged, some kind of a larger areas, but a lot of pockets just throughout the field where there's just pieces and parts that are down, but majority of it's standing. I know there's a lot of talk about sawfly. I'm not seeing very much of that here. I have seen some hoppers in the spring wheat, so I'm anxious to see like what are dealing with there, but it's not bad, not like I've seen in the past. Otherwise, they've just got a phenomenal crop right where we're sitting.
Woods Harvesting is working their way through winter wheat in Colorado. Ethan Woods says higher temps are moving things along well.
Julesburg, Colorado, we're cutting winter wheat right now, and yields have been anywhere from 30 to 60. Weeds are starting to come up in most of it. We've ran into a lot of thunderstorms and hail, and this week has actually been a pretty good week for us. You know, we're in the 100 degrees, and that's where it's supposed to be at for the next 5-6 days, so should get a lot of work done, hopefully. You just got to keep an eye on the equipment temperatures and make sure you don't overwork nothing, so keep it clean.
The crew will work into Montana next.
We are headed for Chester, Montana, starting on barley, and then going to start on some canola after that. They're assuming the barley would be anywhere from 50 to 70, and it's all dry land. Not sure what the canola and mustard will be like. And the winter wheat's up there running 50 to 60, and then spring wheat's burning up in Montana.
Tentative date for pre-pile sugar beet harvest for American Crystal Sugar Company is August 15th. General Agronomist Joe Hastings says they're working to firm that date up.
We're going to be taking some yield samples the next few weeks to kind of firm that up on a start date. We took our first samples earlier this week that are just getting processed this morning, so I don't have any data back on that yet. Typically, we'll see this first week that we take samples in July. Our long-term average is about 12 tons per acre. Yeah. So we'll see where we fall with that. You know, and it's dependent, too, on potential if we get some moisture, right, how that goes.
Hastings reminds growers to be aware of pre-harvest intervals for any further fungicide applications.
Yeah, different pre-harvest intervals for our fungicides we're using, depending on where you're falling with that. Talk to your agriculturalist. We have our quick sheets are out there, and I have in our ag notes that we send out to our growers. Definitely all that information is on there regarding pre-harvest intervals. So, yes, good point to bring up. Watch out for that as we're nearing, you know, where you might fall in rotation on your pre-pile.
South Dakota State University Extension agronomist Jonathan Kleinjohn says winter wheat harvest is getting closer to wrapping up in the state.
Winter wheat harvest has started in the southern part of the state. It's probably nearing completion, and I've heard mixed reports, some poor yields and some pretty good yields. You know, to be expected, I thought yields would be poor because we got planted pretty late last fall. Well, I shouldn't say we got planted late. We just didn't have much moisture, and it didn't germinate until later. But I just talked to somebody from Draper this morning, and he had some winter wheat that he planted on November 1st, or it emerged on November 1st, I should say, and it's still doing 70 bushels an acre, which is really surprising to me. So some good surprises, and then, like I said, we've had some kind of support reports too, I'd say, kind of in the Oneida Pier area.
Farmers are just dipping their toes into the spring wheat harvest.
Well, spring wheat, we haven't really had much of a test yet. We're just kind of getting going. I believe that email I forwarded yesterday, he mentioned just a little bit about it. We did take a field out here in eastern South Dakota yesterday. That's the first one I've known about here, and it was doing better than expected. I'd say 60 bushels an acre, but I think overall the spring wheat crop is going to be down. A lot of poor spring wheat. I've heard of some acres being abandoned. So once again, a mixed bag if you just happen to be under the right cloud of rain or not.
Lakota, North Dakota farmer Scott Nelson says even within some of his fields, there's still been a lot of differences in emergence.
You know, I think in general, the word for the year is variable. We had really variable emergence this spring, and obviously that's carried along all the way through the season. So trying to time fungicide has been a bit of a task, as well as it's going to be when we start desiccating the crop for harvest. It's going to be a bit of a decision as to when to start that process with the uneven emergence we have.
Nelson is surprised his barley crop is faring better than his spring wheat in the high temperatures.
Barley in particular, I think, actually looks better than the wheat. It seems like it took the heat a little better than our wheat did. Height-wise, we're waist high of most of the barley, which surprises me. The wheat is struggling to get above our knee. So I think in general the barley is going to turn out to be okay this year in my area. Timing it off of our fungicide timing, I would guess we will be desiccating about the 10th of August. So 2 weeks after that, we'll start harvesting wheat. So third week in August probably for the wheat.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network is second day of the Wheat Quality Council Spring Wheat Tour across North Dakota. Acres Way Ag is sponsoring our coverage of the tour. BW Consulting's Brian Walker is on the tour and says the later planted wheat is better quality than the earlier planted crop.
I'm on the pink route, and I'm currently out. Just went through Stanley. We're just west of Stanley now. And we've hit four fields so far. They're looking good in general. The wheat that appeared to be planted later, we're getting better numbers on, and that's been a common comment throughout the tour. There's been some exceptions to that, but in general, it looks pretty good up here.
Yesterday's wrap-up meeting, yields were in the mid to lower 40s.
So the overall day average, I believe, was 48 bushel to the acre, and it ranged from, I'd say, in the high 30s to the low, I think one car had low 50s, maybe a couple of cars, but they were right in that 45 to 50 bushel mark. It's in line with a lot of the comments that we've been hearing, that there's some variables out there with some of the earlier planted wheat, spring wheat, had good moisture to start with, but it got dry and hot in June, late May into June, and probably set it back somewhat with the heat stress.
And coverage of the 2023 Wheat Quality Council Spring Wheat and Durham Tour brought to you by Acres Away Ag.
AgMarket.net market analyst Kenan Layden says traders continue to pull risk premium out of the grains.
Soybeans are higher in part due to a new China stimulus that could increase the demand for soybean imports. So if you look at those front ones, they're especially higher. Putin announced that they did not renew the Ukraine deal because it was not serving its purposes. Wheat options increased up 8,000 contracts. Corn and soybean, the next few weeks, will kind of decide the future direction of the market. And wheat is kind of down here, given maybe some of the Ukrainian news.
The cattle market is finding some buying support.
We started the day down in feeder and live cattle, hogs too. Feeder and live cattle have recovered, so that could be due to some of the corn prices coming down here this morning. But yeah, we're staying strong, and we are up from that little decrease we had yesterday in the market.
Van On & Company market analyst Christy Van On says traders are giving back some of the weather and war premium.
They're willing to, Russia is willing to meet with Turkey, and so it's like kind of, you know, are you going to stick to this? Are you going to see this escalation continue to happen? And so I think you're giving back some of that premium in this market, knowing that Russia is willing to talk with Turkey after they talk with some African countries. And so you're seeing that, and that's kind of pulling down corn with it as well. Everything was lower, and then we had two private estimates or private sales in soybeans, and I think that was the ticket to try and get soybeans positive here.
And the livestock futures are waiting for direction from the cash trade.
And so I think that's what's holding on when you look at the cattle markets right now. It looks like feeder cattle maybe wanted to have a go at it with weaker corn prices, but really for the last few days, it's just been moderately lower. We are coming in, and we should start to get some good cash ideas here tomorrow, most likely, to see where this wants to hold on. When you look at the hog markets here, really been on a tear for August hogs, and we have a big premium for August versus December, and that's going to be something to watch is that, you know, you look at a December chart, and it has consolidated for well over a month right now and not really getting anywhere. And I think the big question is, do we have the issues right now, or do we have the issues later in the year as far as a surplus of inventory?
Weekly report from the Energy Information Administration shows ethanol production for the week ending July 21st, 1.09 million barrels per day. That's up 24,000 barrels per day from the previous week, 73,000 barrels more than the same week a year ago. Ethanol stocks are up 100,000 barrels to 23.2 million barrels.
Bushel has announced automated grain contract entry. Farmers will have the ability to connect grain contract data into Bushel Farm. This technology will reduce manual entry and real-time automated insights and give real-time automated insights, including grain marketing position and profit and loss, down to the field level. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Farm Fest kicks off in Redwood County, Minnesota, August 1st. Farm Fest Forums coordinator Kent Tesey says besides new technology showcases, Farm Bill will be a focus.
Farm Fest has a long tradition held near the Gilfillan Estate between Redwood Falls and Morgan in southwest Minnesota. And of course, there will be the usual over 400 exhibits on display, everything from the large equipment to the latest and greatest in technology and many other companies kind of showing off their wares and visiting with all that attend. The part I work with as forum coordinator, of course, is organizing all the educational forums and the WIC forum building each day. And this year we're going to have kind of a heavy focus on ag policy issues, including the new farm bill.
There will be big names in farm policy addressing attendees throughout the three-day event.
We're going to kick it off the first day. We got a great couple of great forums the first morning, 9:30. Trade Ambassador, U.S. Trade Ambassador Doug McCallop will be there at 9:30 talking about an overview of U.S. exports and trade policy. Then at 10:30 that morning, our feature forum is the new Farm Bill and USDA Ag Policy Issues. Robert Bonney, who's USDA Undersecretary to Tom Vilsack and oversees FSA, NRCS, crop insurance programs, will give the keynote address. Senator Amy Klobuchar will make a few comments and introduce him.
Looking at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis, September wheat down 36.5 at 895.5. December down 34.75 at 907.25. Chicago wheat down 38.75 at 721.5. Kansas City down 45.75 at 866.25. September corn down 18 at 539.5. December corn down 17.75. September soybeans 14.25 higher at 1464.75. November soybeans a penny and a half lower at 1418.5. Live cattle, August, 32 cents higher at 178.62. October live cattle, 27 cents higher at 179.87. Feeder cattle, August, 67 cents higher at 243.90. Lean hogs, down at 10 cents at 101.55. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.